Talk tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Yes, it is, with some super weird David Bowie music to bring us into the rundown. The rundown is part of the show where we have a look at the big stories of the day, the stuff that you're talking about around the office. You're thinking about it on the drive home. Now we bring in two people way smarter than me to talk about it, and I got to give you some background and maybe something more to think about. Please help me welcome Ken Eastwood, morning show host at News Talk 10 or 1290 in London, Ontario. Ken, how are you?
I'm great, Richard. Thanks for having me.
And we have Matt Cause for seconds before the hockey game starts. He's from TSN 1050 host, writer for CFL.ca, and a sommelier. We talked all about wine just last week. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Richard. It's 1-0 Canada over Czechia at the end of the first period.
Well, there we go.
So there you go. A little update as well.
Thank you. People need to know. They want to know.
Yes.
Matt, I'm going to start with you because we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL and its players and Damar Hamlin. So the Bills and the Bengals are probably still kind of traumatized after watching a co-worker's heart stop. They'll need time to kind of regroup, I would think. The idea of moving on is probably in their heads, but maybe they don't feel like it just yet. And it's an unforgiving time. Week 17 is done. Week 18 is on the way, and so are the playoffs. You can't squeeze an extra game into that small window. So do you think we should just forget about that game, or does it need to be rescheduled?
No, it does not need to be replayed. And the news has come down just a little while ago that the NFL has decided that game will not be played.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, good.
That literally just came down not that long ago. So Bengals, Bills, you'll never see it. They'll figure out what they want to do in terms of how it affects playoff seeding. But that game between those teams is now done.
Good. And Ken, it's good news that Damar Hamlin is responding well to treatment. He hasn't spoken yet, but that's simply because I think they've still got him on a ventilator. But All the news reports are very good. It seems like he is snapping around and coming around nicely.
Yeah, nothing short, I think, of just miraculous, the trajectory of his recovery. Mm-hmm. I'll be completely honest, I'm a little disappointed that this game is not being played. And it's not because of any, sinister need to see the completion of the season or anything like that. I'm not even a huge NFL fan, but I would have loved to see a game played for Damar. I mean, one of the things we heard today was when he was able to communicate by writing things out to his caregivers, one of the first things he asked was, did we win the game? Yeah. I mean, if you put this to Damar Hamlin and said, Damar, would you have wanted that last game to be played? 100% he would have said yes.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'll just add, the one thing is hopefully Buffalo beats New England and they can knock out Belichick from the playoffs. It's not a bad parting gift.
Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about is the Liberal Gun Bill. Now, there's been an amendment to it. So Liberal MP Paul Chang introduced on behalf of the government an addition to the list of prohibited firearms first established in a, quote, military-style assault weapon ban that was passed in 2020. Now, this is another list of firearms that would have anything that has a muzzle energy exceeding 10,000 joules and a bore diameter of 20 millimeters or greater. Rifles and shotguns are in there as well. So I don't know if people know exactly what that means, but what it means essentially is that a lot of guns that are used for legitimate hunting and protection in rural and northern Canada are now included on this ban. Have the Liberals misfired with this amendment?
You know, bills are always evolving and growing things. And I think, it depends on your perspective. I mean, if you see, an addition and changes to this bill, as a misfire, as a failure, I think that says a lot about your perspective. The thing that just boggles my mind is when hunters say, look, you're eliminating our ability to effectively do what we do and hunt. Mm-hmm. Well, for every, you know, for every gun that would be banned, there's 10 more that fit the same bill that would accomplish the exact same thing that you're setting out to do. So I immediately disregard that debate. And I think, you know, this is just the natural process of getting to a bill that works.
The conservatives, Matt, claimed that the liberals thought they could sneak this through. I'm going to say, though, the bill was 478 pages long. You don't sneak a bill like that through.
No, you don't. You find, you know, put in a little tiny provision. No, certainly not. I would. The only thing I would say with this bill is when you've got like conservatives and NDP, when you've got almost every other party against what the liberals were trying to do here, that for me is the only issue. And it bothers me only in the sense that I want more and more gun restrictions. I want tougher gun laws like I think most people do. So if you've done something where everyone else is galvanized against you, I think you have to reconsider some of it. But, you know, in the end, listen, I mean, a lot of people I know who hunt, they hunt with bow and arrows. Mm. I don't think we need a lot of the guns that are out there.
You're listening to The Rundown with Ken Eastwood, morning show host on News Talk 1290 in London, Ontario, and Matt Cause, TSN 1050 host, writer for CFL.ca and sommelier. Let's talk a little bit about this truce. Or supposed weekend truce. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Thursday ordered his armed forces to observe a unilateral 36-hour ceasefire in Ukraine for the Orthodox Christmas holiday, the first such sweeping truce move in nearly 11 months. Kyiv indicated that it won't follow suit. Ken, I think that was the right move. I would not have followed suit with this either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And I think this has less to do with the Orthodox Christmas holiday than it does with the most recent turning of the tides. We saw a rocket attack against a group of Russian soldiers, and Russia downplaying the numbers, but could be as many as, you know, we were hearing numbers up in the 400 range. And I think that says a lot about some of the successes that Ukraine has had. So I think it's suspiciously coincidental timing that Vladimir Putin would be calling for this ceasefire. I mean, yes, obviously it is the Christmas holiday, but seems suspicious to me.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, this definitely feels a lot different than the First World War, when you can find stunning images of German and French soldiers crossing, you know, meeting in the middle of the battlefield to exchange gifts and I think play soccer. This one is very simple. If Putin wants it, that I'm perfectly good for Ukraine not doing it. As Zelensky says, we're going to refuse. Who am I to argue with? Who am I to argue with him? And I don't think any of this is going to do anything in terms of trying to swing the court of public opinion over to Putin and Russia. So, no, they want to refuse the truce in the Ukraine. Go ahead and refuse it.
Ken, just before we get to the break, I want to ask you a little bit about the Toronto's new vacant home tax. This is something that I think we're going to see sweeping across the country. And essentially it says letting a home sit empty in the middle of a housing crisis will now cost you with the introduction of Toronto's new vacant home tax on New Year's Day. Is this a legit tax, or are we just throwing another tax on homeowners who are already taxed enough?
No, I think it's a legit tax, and I think it's I think it makes sense as a move to try and free up some stock in a struggling housing market. Mm-hmm. We know that that's what's causing the housing crisis is simply a lack of available stock. So anything you can do to kind of free that up, I think is a good thing. And we sort of went through the same thing here in London with a lot of our commercial properties. Many of them were sitting empty, and it was just a lot of them were heritage home buildings that would fall into disrepair. And we, you know, we tried to do a few things about it. And I think, yeah, something like this probably would have been a great idea.
You're listening to The Rundown on News Talk tonight. Ken Eastwood, morning show host on News Talk 1290 in London, Ontario, is one of my guests. Also, Matt Cause, TSN 1050 host, writer for CFL.ca and a sommelier. Matt, what kind of wine, quickly, would we drink for the World Juniors tonight?
You're going to want, Canada's going to want to, is going to win. So get yourself some sparkling from 13th Street, or get a big Bordeaux blend from BC, from the Okanagan area, in support of Connor Bedard.
I love it. When we come back, there's lots more to come. Stay with me. I'm Richard Krause.
News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, listening to Aerosmith, Sweet Emotion, as we kick off another game of Name That Tune, coming in and out of each of the segments. I'm in for Jim Richards this week. He'll be back next week. And we are in the middle of the rundown. That's where we get clever people to say clever things about all the news that's happening that matters to you, that makes a difference in your life. Joining me tonight are Ken Eastwood, the morning show host on News Talk 1290 in London, Ontario. I think, Ken, I'm talking to you tomorrow morning in about 12 hours about movies. Right? Yep.
Indeed you are. So rest well and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 7:10 tomorrow, Richard.
I will be one or the other. I will be bright-eyed or bushy-tailed, but I will not be both.
Just be there,
okay? I will be there. And Matt Cause, TSN 1050 host and writer for CFL.ca and a sommelier, joins us as well. When we left, we were talking about Toronto's vacant home tax. If this is in some way going to help us tackle the housing crisis. Matt, what's your take on that?
Well, my first take is a selfish one. I'm staring at the piece of mail where I realize, oh God, I haven't, I have to still fill it out and send it in, so I'm a dummy. I am for every different layer we can do to help with the housing crisis. And they mentioned in the article, there is no silver bullet for this. Mm-hmm. So anything to do where, I mean, these empty homes that are just there because of foreign investment or people just waiting and waiting to eventually make a profit on it. If you can curtail it, even 10, 20%, I'm for it. And if the tax money, which says will go towards helping affordable housing initiatives, 100% for it. I've seen what it costs to rent a place. Holy Lord, is it expensive in this city.
Yeah, I'm for it for another reason. I'm happy. If it does make housing more affordable, I'm all for it and to tackle the housing crisis. But what I want is a vibrant city, no matter which city it is. I happen to live in Toronto, but whether you're in Montreal, London, Vancouver, wherever you are across the country, Halifax, if you have pockets of the city that are literally unoccupied, like Mayfair in London, England, where you walk through at 9 o'clock at night when it's dark and there's not a light on anywhere because there are so many foreign-owned homes there that people simply aren't using, it kills that neighborhood. That neighborhood is dead. It kills the stores. It kills the restaurants. It's just not good for the health of a city, and a city needs to be vibrant, and to be vibrant, people have to live in it, and that's my verdict on that one. So that's where I fall on that. Let's talk a little bit about Canada's broken travel complaint process. We've got some audio here. Let's listen to that first, and then I'll get your take on this.
Well, the complaint process is, in my opinion, broken. I think it is broken in the sense that we're trying to get these complaints through a judicial body, the Canadian Transportation Agency. It is not built for speed. It is not built for efficiency. It is built for thoroughness and is built to make sure that the regulatory regimes are put in place. We need another body that can expedite these complaints, that passengers who have complaints can get an answer very quickly. Right now, waiting 2 years, which is what likely will happen, to get your hearing on a complaint just is not acceptable.
I don't know if this is even a debatable after the holiday travel season that we've just had and people have been sleeping in airports, living in airports, waiting to get out, and then really having no fallback. There's no place really to complain effectively and to complain easily and to actually get some action. Ken, what do you think needs to happen?
Yeah, well, the same thing that we thought was happening, 2-3 years ago, when we went through this process of developing, a so-called Bill of Rights for passengers.
The passenger's Bill of Rights, yeah.
Yeah, and we got to the end of that and realized, well, there are so many caveats, the big one being weather, that it basically made that whole thing ineffective. It meant that the airlines could say, well, all the travel disruptions we had over the Christmas break, that was all a result of a massive winter storm, and there was really nothing we could do about it. No, we can't explain why other airlines didn't strand passengers for weeks on end in foreign countries, and there's also nobody you can call to get information about where you are. We can't explain that, but it's all the weather.
Matt, waiting 18 months to, you know, 2 years to get a hearing to have your complaint heard is outrageous.
It's outrageous, and it's a barrier for justice. It's a barrier for you to get compensated. It's, it, to me, it feels like it's set up like that on purpose because they know a lot of people, let's say even it's $600, $700.
Yeah.
If you say it's going to be 18 months and take up that much of your time, so many people, not all, but so many people are just going to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You know, like paying a parking ticket versus going to spend a day fighting for it. And the other part about all this is with the airlines, they know the busy periods of the year. They can make sure they're staffed up for it. They know the busy times.
Yeah, for me, the $600 after 2 years, I would have forgotten why I was mad in the first place. You know, I want my hearing when I'm still fired up. You know, not 2 years from now. So, Matt, inflation is hitting restaurants hard. Restaurants have had a rough time over the last couple of years, few years, leading out of the pandemic. You've had a lot of restaurants that have closed down. Those who have managed to keep the doors open face fewer customers coming back, higher prices for produce, all that sort of thing. So what do you think that dining out is going to look like in 2023? Are we going to have smaller menus? Are we going to have lots of different kinds of things than we might not have been used to? So instead of charging, you know, $50 for a giant steak, they're going to have smaller portions and charge lesser for that. What do you think?
I think it's going to be smaller portions. I think it's going to be fewer options as well, especially we see the prices of vegetables and how much that's going to also, especially a seafood of so many kinds is going to become much more of a delicacy. And then on the other end, you'll probably see the price of wine go up because that's where they usually make. And it's not just because I know this kind of stuff. That's where they make their profits. And I do think the government's got to do something. How many people are employed by restaurants? How many young people? How many people that are new to the country where their first jobs are working in restaurants? Restaurants are the heartbeat of cities.
Ken, do you think that you will go out and, you know, I mean, you're a morning show talk show host, so maybe you don't go out to dinner all that much because you have to go to bed so early. But will higher prices and or smaller portions keep you from going out?
No, it hasn't. And I do go out. My wife and I do go out occasionally. And I don't think it's going to change the behavior of many people who, for whom this was, you know, their, for lack of a better term, vice, going out to eat. I think it will definitely, it's going to change the choices we make when we're going out to eat. You know, I thought when I saw the price of cauliflower at the grocery store, I thought, oh man, this is going to be, you know, people are going to be flocking back to eating chicken wings now instead of their buffalo cauliflower bites or whatever they call them. But I mean, we all saw that. We saw that tweet from Siobhan Morris.
I know. $40 chicken.
$37 for a package of five chicken breasts. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of people choosing chicken over cauliflower again. But I don't think this is going to change a lot of people's behavior. I think if this is something you want to do, you're just going to dig a little deeper for it.
Matt, we just have a minute left. Prince Harry's book Spare is hitting bookshelves. There's all sorts of explosive revelations in it. He punched his brother, who will one day be king. He admits taking cocaine and mushrooms, saying that drugs let him, quote, see the truth. Says that he lost his virginity in a field behind a pub with a woman who treated him, quote, like a stallion in less than a minute. Do we know too much about Prince Harry? Do we care?
We know way too much of, to me, one of the most irrelevant celebrities on planet Earth. The entire story is always covered with just one side. We've never heard all of it. And I'm proud to say I have block muted all words that have Meghan, that have Markle, that have Prince, that have Harry. My life is so much better without those irrelevant people in it.
Look at you go. Just as long as you keep Richard M. Krause on your Twitter feed, I'll be a happy guy. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's all the time we have for the rundown. My guests have been Ken Eastwood, morning show host on News Talk 1290 in London, Ontario, and someone I'll be talking to on that station in less than 12 hours about movies. And Matt Cause, TSN 1050 host, writer for CFL.ca and sommelier. Thank you, gentlemen. Pleasure to speak to you as always.
You too, Richard. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. When we come back, we're going to talk with a guy who's taking the world's longest marathon run. Stay with me. Lots more to come.